Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We bless the name of our God. Our God is worthy. Our God is awesome. What an awesome God we serve. And I will never cease to fail this God. His name is Jesus. And it is for that reason that I stand here this evening in front of you right now. It's to talk about him. It's to proclaim his praises, to give him honor and the glory. And praise and to serve him with all of my heart. Hallelujah. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. And we are here in Randallstown, Maryland, which is about 20, 25 minutes north of Baltimore. If in case you are in the area, by all means, come on by. Just swing on over. Amen. All are welcome. There is no admission. Right, it's free of charge, every single service, no matter what the event might be. And by all means, come as you are, just as you are. If you like to wear a mask, by all means, wear a mask. If you don't want to wear a mask, then don't wear a mask. You're covered by the blood of Jesus. Unless if you choose to believe that you're covered by the power of the vaccine, which, hey, that's your prerogative. That's perfectly fine. We still love you. We're still going to worship, no matter what. I try not to speak about the vaccine too much because some people sometimes are a little sensitive about that. So we're going to respect their wishes. But come as you are. Just come on down. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and start in the word of the Lord. I have an exciting word for us here this evening. So let's get started right away with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we worship you. Lord, we praise you. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful evening. Thank you, Father, for a wonderful week that we have had. We give you, Lord, all the honor and glory and praise. Lord, I thank you for the lives that are here this evening. And Lord, I also thank you for everyone that's tuned right now to watch this, whether it's today or after this is taped, recorded. Bless them, Lord, tremendously. As I say, Lord, from time to time, bless them profusely. Bless their socks off, Lord. Bless them. May your Holy Spirit, Lord, speak to them and all of us here this evening on a one-on-one basis. May they see you, Lord, and not me. For the honor and glory of your name. And it is in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Are we familiar with the book of Hebrews and specifically chapter 11? Amen. 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 Praise God. Amen. Hebrews 11 is known as the Hall of Faith. I like it. Or Faith's Hall of Fame. Faith Hall of Fame. In Hebrews 11, it speaks about Abel. It speaks about Enoch. It speaks about Noah. It speaks about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. All these men are mighty men of God who trusted God with all of their hearts. And as a result, their names are in God's word. Their deeds, their actions. As a matter of fact, every single thing from like the good things to the not so good things, but ultimately the Lord receives praise and glory through their faith, the faith that they had. And I think we all agree that our faith in the Lord, our faith in God, our faith in the word of the Lord is something that's very important. Our belief, we are called a people of faith. So right now, for my opening text, I would like to read Hebrews 11, but a particular section. I would like to read Hebrews 11, starting from verses 23 through verses 29. May I have that, please? Praise God. And the word of the Lord says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned." Praise the Lord. Now, even though Moses, like these other Bible heroes that we read in the Word of God, lived in Old Testament times, the New Testament says that their lives are recorded for our learning, all that they have done. And because of this, I would like to look at some instances of faith in Moses. A couple key things that I think is important for us to hear, but not solely just hear, but understand what the Word of the Lord is saying this evening in relations to faith. So I don't think I gave the title for this evening's sermon, that is Instances of Faith in Moses. Instances of Faith in Moses. And I would like to go through a couple of those instances. I have a few verses that I want to bring to your attention right now. And the first one is going back to verses 23 in Hebrews chapter 11. May I have that, please? That's the first verse that we read. And that is, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command." Right. Here you see Moses' parents hiding little Moses. Right now, in this particular occasion, the faith is on the part of Moses' parents. But it obviously had an influence on Moses himself. Now, how did Moses become the man that he ultimately ended up being? I want to say that it began with his parents. 100% began with his parents. His parents' faith opened the door for his own mother to be his nurse. Have you ever noticed that? You know, they send him off. Moses is put on a basket, which we're getting ready to read the story right now of Moses. If you never have, we're going to read about 9 verses here, my next verse. But I want to explain here what we're going to read. Everything here that takes place is all something that is very miraculous. And it all began by one simple element, and that is faith in Jehovah. Faith in the Lord God Almighty. And as a result, things could not turn out to be any better than how they turned out. Let's go ahead and read that as a matter of fact. May I please have Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, please. Amen. And the man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds of the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maiden walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew's children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. Praise God. I mean, how much better can it be? Can it get any better than that? Here, Pharaoh's daughter is thinking that the child is being nursed by just a regular nurse, when all along it was a child's mother. And over top of that, you're going to get paid, and I venture to say, handsomely. If I'm going to get paid royalty money, I'm pretty sure that's not going to be peanuts, right? This isn't the regular minimum wage or the standard 9-to-5 or even the overnight shift that pays a little bit more. No, no, no. This is royal money. He said, "I'm going to pay you to take care of this child." You know what you call that? A pure display of favor. And it all started by faith. Faith in the part of Moses' parents. And you want to know something? God wants parents just like this to display faith to their children, to pass on the faith that they have to the children that they bore in life. If God doesn't receive any sort of glory, none whatsoever, when we are down and out, when we are depressed, crying the blues. Now, I'm not speaking against it. And I'm not saying that it's wrong for us to have bad days and bad moments and bad times in our lives. No, 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 no. Because the Lord uses situations in our life to bring us closer to Him, for us to grow our faith, to get our attention, to grow our patience, our endurance, to sharpen our character. So I'm not speaking against it. Ultimately, what the Lord wants is for us to have faith in God in every single situation. And parents, I'm speaking to all of us here right now. I'm also a parent also. The Lord wants you to pass on the faith that you have to your children. Amen? Even back in Deuteronomy days, the Lord spoke about this in Deuteronomy 6. May I have verses 4 through 7, please? "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently. Man, that word just kind of burned on my mind when I read this. Diligently to your children. Again, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That's diligence. That's diligence. That's what I call all the time. That's all the time. Don't forget about it. Don't miss a beat. Speak about the Lord to your kids. Speak to them. Teach them the Word of God. Now, potentially you might be asking, how exactly do I pass this faith, Pastor, to my loved ones, to my children? If you don't have any children, to the people that I mentor, to the people that I have an influence, by teaching. By teaching them. And I'm going to give you a reference right now. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. May I have that, please? But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through that, and there's that word again, through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There's the formula. That's where it starts. It starts with the Scripture. It starts with the Holy Bible. It starts with the Word of God. Verses 15. In that from childhood, ever since you were a kid, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation. That's where you start. How do I teach my child? You read them the Bible. You recite verses. You memorize verses. You make them memorize Scriptures. Key verses. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, Jesus wept. You can start right there. You know, the shortest verse in the Bible. I mean, all these verses that we know, you know, off the back of our hands. These are all things that you can pass on to your children. And right now, it's going to make them wise. You know, it's going to show. There's going to be no doubt that these children have godly parents, of how blessed they are. You want to see an example of that? Same book, but now chapter 1, verses 5. Let me show you what that looks like. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. See how that looks like? That's good parents. Praise God for our grandmother, yes? Our grandmother that dragged us to church, right? And then our mother dragged us to church. Sometimes we didn't want to go, right? And now, Paul is giving them all the credit. He said, I know that that same faith your grandmother had and your mom is in you guys. See what that looks like? It starts with parents. It starts at home. You can have an impact, let's just say, in the life of a child. So parents, by all means, you're in the mix of this. And I want to say that it all started with Moses' parents. And ultimately, he became a mighty man of God. So this is one instance of faith in the life of Moses. Another instance is Moses is in refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Another act of faith. May I please have Hebrews 11? We're going to go back to Hebrews 11. Now verses 24 through 26. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And because of that act, as a young man, as someone that is still very young, the Lord honored him because of that. Right now, Moses is a teenager. Potentially, he might be a young teenager. But he knows right from wrong. He knows good and evil. And he willfully chooses to not partake in all of that evil that happened, that was going on in Egypt. All of the demonic things and the idol worship and all of the debauchery and whatever he saw. Sometimes I'm exposed to certain history things that have Egypt affiliated with it, from archaeologists who research that country and find diggings and different documentaries. And I like to sometimes, you know, tune into like the Discovery Channel and some of that stuff. It's sometimes a little bit fascinating, and I see how they talk about the different gods of Egypt and how all these things that they put on the wall, these carvings and the paintings on the wall, they represent different times, and a lot of it is themed around a particular god or several gods, parties. A whole bunch of, they were just partying it up, in my opinion. And between so many other religious things that they did. And Moses didn't want any part of that. He said, no, I don't want to be called your son. I'd rather be of the people of God. I want to worship Elohim. I want to worship the great I am. By this time, of course, the Lord had not introduced him as the great I am. But this act alone, an act of pure faith as a young child, God honored. And because of that, he's considered one of the greatest men in the Bible. That is Moses right there. And we see this choice in Moses' actions, in what he did. He made this choice over all the feel-goods, over all the passing sins, over everything where a normal person would run to. The pleasures of this life, the riches and all its glories and all its things that are so attractive. Any person right now on the street, oh my, they would probably just have a ball. But not Moses. I want to bring to your attention right now 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18, please. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And that's what Moses was going for. The things that are unseen. The eternal things. And we also have such a choice to make between the riches of this world or the reward that we are going to have in heaven. We are faced with that choice frequently. What am I going to choose? Do I rather just devote my entire life towards my career, and whatever time is left over, I'm going to dedicate it to the Lord? Okay. Potentially you choose to have a righteous life. You abstain yourself from all those things that you know are contrary to the Word of God. All right, praise the Lord. Your name is written in the book of life. Great, excellent. As far as I am concerned, I'm trying to be loaded when I get to heaven. Because that's eternal, right? We call over here stuffed, right? I'm trying to get stuffed when I'm up there. That's just me. I want to rack as much reward as I can, because that's never going to perish. The value is not going to go up and down. It's not going to fluctuate like the stock market, right? It's not going to rot. It's not going to devalorize. It's not going to be stolen. That to me is far more valuable than whatever degree I might have in here, whatever my bank account might hold, or anything whatsoever. The things of this world is just temporary. Only temporary. What you and I do for the Lord, that is eternal. That is where you invest your stock in. That's where you invest your time, your efforts. And the Lord honors you for that. May I please have Matthew 6, 19 through 20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. That to me is far more precious. Now, I just want to make things clear. I do not preach against riches. I do not enforce poverty. I think that is of the enemy, 100%. The Lord takes care of our every single need. And there is nothing wrong with a savings account. No. There's nothing wrong with that at all. You know, by all means, saving is good. Saving is good practice. To save something, to pass on to our children, an inheritance. As Solomon says, the wise man leaves an inheritance to his children, right? So I'm not speaking against, you shouldn't have a savings account, you should live by faith continuously, meaning borderline poverty. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is my priority. God is my priority. He takes precedence on every single thing. And I trust that God will bless me as a result. And He has. The Lord has blessed me profusely. He has blessed my socks off. I am testimony of that. In every single thing, from a house to cars to a wonderful, beautiful, healthy daughter who just turned 2 today. Happy birthday, right? Every single thing. And I give God the glory. It's all by faith. Amen? Amen. And finally, right now, I just want to say one thing as far as an instance that we find of faith in Moses. And that is Moses forsaking Egypt altogether. Just imagine you were raised in a palace for as long as you can remember. Your first steps were inside of a palace. Egypt at the time was a very, 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 very powerful nation. They had it going on. And he forsook all of that to be with his people. That's by faith. May I have Hebrews 11, 27? Hebrews 11, 27 says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Right now you see the reason why he did it. where his mind was, where his sight was. His sight, his will, his want was on something far greater than palaces, than riches, than money, than anything that he could have. Ultimately, Egypt represented the old life to Moses. And once he made his choice, he followed that choice. He willingly did it. He lived that way. And also, we likewise must have the faith to forsake the world and all of its allurements and all of its glance and glimmers and bling bling and shine and appeal. May I please have Romans chapter 12, first two verses, please, 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, your bodies holy, your bodies acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, starting by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, by the renewing of your mind, by abstaining yourself from the things of this world, but not just being okay with how things are going. But ultimately, I'm going to say no. I'm not going to run with these people, with my friends here who don't fear God. I'm not going to have these sets of friends. I'm not going to associate myself with this group of people. I'm going to abstain myself from doing this, that, and the other thing. The Lord sees all of that. And the Holy Spirit transforms your mind. Now all of a sudden, you have the spirit of discernment. You can prove, as the Word of God says. And as those who have chosen to be God's people, we must continue to put off the old life and ultimately put on the new one. This is what the Lord wants for all of us. My final verse for this evening comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24, please. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness. There we go. It starts to describe right now. To work all uncleanness with hastiness, with greediness, with all want, with all that they have. Verses 20. But you have not so learned in Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, and the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old Egypt, your former ways, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed, there we go again, in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's for all of us. We should abandon our old ways, abandon our old paths. Maybe accidentally, once upon a time, you left a gap open where the enemy came in, and now he's wreaking havoc. Maybe you might be struggling with a particular issue for a while that you are seeking right now help for. Potentially you are waiting for an answer from God. You are seeking the Lord. Well, right now, I pray that all these verses that I presented to you will start working in you. And the Holy Spirit will start manifesting himself to you. And he starts renewing your mind day by day. But it starts with us. It starts with a will. It starts inside of our hearts. I want a drive to serve the Lord, to forsake all those things from the past, things that grieve the Holy Spirit, and follow in the ways of God. Amen? That will increase your faith. Praise the Lord. If it's the will of God, I might continue next week on this topic of faith in reference to Moses. We shall see when the time comes. But for right now, let's close with a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. Lord, we worship you. We thank you, Lord, for your holy scriptures. Thank you so much, Lord, for the guidance of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you want to bless us. You want to make us prosperous. Lord, we are more than conquerors through you. And I pray, Lord, that we can set aside the old ways, the old man, the corruptible man, and start feeding, Lord, the spirit man. This faith, Lord, that we have, this inner man, Lord, the spirit of the Lord. May we grow continuously, Lord, in faith and knowledge of you and you alone. May we make you, Lord, number one. Instead of, Lord, us worrying about the things of this life, fear, anxiety, the perils and the troubles, may we just, Lord, simply just look up to you and trust in you, Lord, for every single thing. Lord, we bless your holy name. As we always say, Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. Be glorified, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you.